T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Stephen Tao on the line with us, who's got a new book out that sounds extremely interesting. London, Reign Over Me, How England's Capital Built Classic Rock. And you've rubbed elbows with some greats in the industry to write this thing, huh, Stephen?
Yes, it really took a while, a lot of persistence, but I was able to talk to some, you know, people, and you know, Jethro Tull, the Kinks, the Yardbirds, Moody Blues, Deep Purple. Yes, so some pretty cool people.
Now, how did you get close to all of these people? I mean, you know, some people don't get to meet that many people in a lifetime. How'd you get close to them to be able to discuss this with them?
Well, I think it's just, I don't have the normal, you know, rock music pipeline thing. I didn't work for Rolling Stone. I didn't, you know, have lunch with Elton John the other day. So, so it was just, you know, just like I said, persistence, and over sometimes took years. And I think maybe being the history professor maybe gave me a little bit of, you know, street cred, I suppose. So, yeah, it worked out.
So getting right to it, how in your, you know, research do you believe that London became the incubator for the greatest of the music that began in the 60s?
Well, if you look at rock and roll, early rock and roll, Elvis, you know, Little Richard, Buddy Holly, all that kind of faded by 58, 59, something like that. And then there was not much going on here in terms of rock and roll. There was other stuff, doo-wop, folk music, things like that. But rock and roll really, when it became classic rock, that really came from England. And London became, you know, London is everything in England. So it kind of took the blues and stuff that, real blues that white Americans didn't know about, and they kind of took that and added their own personality to it, and that created what we now call classic rock.
Yeah, a lot of the black musicians, black community, they maintain that Elvis Presley stole everything from them. And when you go back and you listen to a lot of these classic rock songs, Led Zeppelin, for example, songs right. that you thought were Zeppelin songs, they're all old blues songs that they really never gave a whole lot of credit to.
They eventually did, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's clearly what Led Zeppelin did. Like, let's take, for example, Whole Lot of Love, you know, which is just a classic Zeppelin song, which is really a ripoff of You Need Love, written by Willie Dixon, performed by Muddy Waters, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that they really should have given credit clearly. I mean, a lot of the blues people really did kind of steal stuff off of each other in a good way. But given with copyrights and everything, they should have done that. But yes, it all came from that old blues stuff.
Can you boil this down to a couple of songs that you particularly feel are the forefront of this that you're speaking of the classic rock movement from blues?
Wow, you stumped the professor. That's pretty good, Terry.
Yeah. You stumped me. You got me. Well, I mean, if I had to kind of look at like certain songs that stood out, it's really not a blues song, but and the Beatles, obviously not from London, but their first number one hit being Please Please Me, that blew the doors open for everybody.
Okay.
So once that happened, it gave everybody the freedom to write songs, and nobody realizes artists didn't write songs. It was rare. And then eventually to evolve, that was something nobody did before the Beatles. So that influenced the Stones, the Who, the whole lot of them.
Now, in reading about this book that Stephen Tao has taken time to put together, I'd like to know how long it took you. But why did you decide, I'm reading in some of these liner notes here, you consciously decided to stay away from talking about the rock star excesses and petty jealousies that took place, and you focused on the intensive creativity of this short time frame in music. Why was that?
Well, I mean, two reasons. One is, you know, you can pretty much read about that in every other rock music book. So it's been covered. And the other reason, I mean, I teach college. I've got kids that are, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old. They're all into Hendrix and Zeppelin and The Who and The Stones. And they don't listen to that stuff because, you know, people did drugs or Led Zeppelin dropped TV sets out the window at the Hyatt House in L.A. or anything like that. They listen to it now because it still sounds great. It's still vital. And I think that, to me, is really the exciting part, not the, you know, the other stuff is, to me, is just kind of boring. It's been done.
Wow, I was listening to rock for all the wrong reasons. I was listening to it because specifically for the TVs coming out of the window. That was mostly
there you go,
it.
There you go.
So who were some of the best interviews, like personally, that you did? You said, wow, this is just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like you talked to The Who. I actually myself had a chance to sit down with Pete Townshend and Roger Daltrey, which was just a pinnacle of a career to be able to talk to these legends, you know? But you talked to so many people who really stood out to you as really a special interview to get?
Just off the top of my head, one interview that really stood out was Greg Lake, who was in King Crimson, and then, of course, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. He was just such a warm gentleman and enthusiastic about, not just even talking about his bands, but about as a fan of the Beatles, as an example, and just the passion for the music came through. And another example that I thought was a wonderful interview was Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. I interviewed him in England, and I had a bunch of questions I wanted to ask him, and I think I may have asked him one. And he just kind of went off and started telling me stories about Ginger Baker and crazy stuff he did with John Lennon, and I was like, I'm just going to let him go.
Yeah, Ginger Baker, he was another legendary guy that over the years, you know, both Terry and I worked at a very famous radio station in Houston, Texas called KLOL, Rock 101 KLOL. And over the years, so many of these guys came through. Ginger Baker was one of them who we got to meet. Of course, the Stones over the years coming through, and so many of these huge acts that came from Great Britain. And you maintain that Britain was the place where only this music could have been developed. And why is that in particular?
I think because England is such a kind of a goofy place, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's almost like it's such a combination of things if you look at their history. So once they dug into American blues and kind of got that, went through that phase, then they discovered their own stuff, like their own traditional folk music and their own classical influences and European influences. And that's when it really became exciting. And that's when it was like, wow, we can do anything. And they did.
I like that. You know, one of the things that I guess the way I the next thing I want to go into is that as we're talking about all of this classic rock and all of these great bands and stuff, one of the things that also had a lot of influence on rock and roll in general was the English and the Aussies and the Lemmys and the heavy metal influence as well. Not just the classic, you know, rock, but the classic heavy metal rock. Did you touch on that in the book at all? Or what are your thoughts on, in general, that sort of stuff? I mean, you know, Lemmy, the godfather of heavy metal, Ozzy right there with him, you know, all of that stuff.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I mean, I think, in my opinion, and I'm not an expert on metal, but I'd just say nobody sounded like Black Sabbath before them. So I'd start with them. But my book really doesn't delve into metal so much. I mean, it kind of gets into, the heavy bluesy stuff that was going on in the late 60s, Led Zeppelin, Free, Savoy Brown, some of those bands.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was just watching that other special that's on Netflix right now, talking about the canyon out there in L.A. where, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young were, and all these bands developing songs. And they credit the Beach Boys and Pet Sounds as being a very influential record that changed music over here in America. Now, would you say the Beach Boys were influenced at all by the sounds that were coming out of London and England?
Well, I think that's what was such a cool thing about it. Everybody was influencing everybody else. So let's say the West Coast of America was definitely influencing the UK and then back and forth. And everybody was sort of enjoying that. They were just like, well, wow, the Beach Boys did Pet Sounds. Okay, we'll do Sgt. Pepper's. And, you know, and so everybody just was like playing off of what somebody else did and then adding their own thing to it.
Yeah. Now you got Bill Bruford, who was one of the founding members, of Yes, to write the foreword. Why did you choose him for that part of your book?
Well, when it came time for that, my publisher said, you know, give me a list of some prominent people you talk to, that kind of thing. And he initially wasn't on that list. And then it just sort of dawned on me after I was done. It's got to be Bruford. I don't know why. It just clicked. And I sent it to him and he said, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And I was like, really?
Yeah. I mean, when you meet these guys, too, there is a very special thing about being a British rock star. They're in a very different place of rarefied air, you know, than American rock stars. You meet them like John Anderson of Yes came into his presence several times throughout the years. And he is the typical British rock star. It's unless you rub elbows with it, it's hard to describe what that is. But they're royalty of sorts, you know.
Oh, sorry, that was my dog.
that's all right. So, the dog agrees. So,
yeah, that's going to happen. It's just inevitable. They definitely have a presence about them, and they're so well-spoken. I don't know what it is about that sort of London British accent, but it makes them sound smarter.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Stephen Tao, the book is London Reign Over Me, How England's Capital Built Classic Rock in a format that a lot of people make their living on over here.
We built this city.
So if we read this book, we're telling people to go out and read this book, get this book. What is there going to be their biggest takeaway from your book? What is the one thing that makes your book worth reading if you had to boil it down?
I think just an appreciation of the absolute joy that people had in making music and just creating something that maybe we've lost over the years, at least at the mainstream level, just that rules could be broken and that audiences were open to anything, you know. And, you know, you go to see a show, for example, now, whoever opens for that band, it better be in the same genre, you know. Whereas back then you could have, you know, Led Zeppelin on the same bill with the Pentangle, which was this acoustic folky thing, on the same bill with the Floyd or, you know, anybody. And so people were open to all that stuff.
Well, people that listen to The Spot love music of all kinds because we play everything. You know, you hear music from African-American artists. You hear classic rock songs. You hear grunge music. And all of it is, you know, hinging, one hinges upon the other, borrowing little bits of it. And that's the evolution of the art form. It's really cool. So everybody go out and get Stephen Tao's book. Nice to talk to you today. And I hope you sell a lot of them.
Thank you very much for having me on. I enjoyed it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.